Pasuk Dalet, where we begin with a pasuk that seems a little confusing. Ela toldos hashamayim v'haaretz. These are the products of the heaven and the earth. Behi bar'am. Now the little hey there, Hirsch says, is nifal, which means reflexive. And he translates it, which needs a lot of explaining, which had already been given in their creation. So these are the toldos. Toldos always means the things that developed afterwards, like toldos are children. So these are the developments after Hashem had created shamayim v'aretz, heaven and earth, which we already heard about in the previous parak. But this is what flowed from that, in the fact that they had already been created. Hibara means they had been created and something was already inherent in their creation that things would then develop afterwards. Biyom asos Hashem Elokim, on the day that Hashem oseh, this is the first time we're hearing the word oseh, made, when Hashem made Eretz v'shamayim, the order just switched. Eretz v'shamayim. We started the pasuk with Shamayim v'aretz. We introduced the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, to Elokim. Till now, the whole Chumash talked about Elokim. The hey of Behibaram, which is kind of reflexive, needs explaining. And why did the order switch from the beginning of the pasuk Shamayim v'aretz to Eretz, Aretz v'shamayim? Everything needs, it's a very strange pasuk. So Hirsch explains a lot over here. First of all, he says that what appears to us, the world as we know it, seems to have this own power to itself. If you look at how, just the way nature works, you see the way trees produce more trees, right? The seeds and the flowers, everything just seems to be, it has this power within itself. And you could see the cycle of all of the moon and the stars, and everything seems to be working in a programmed way, but with its own power and its own energy. It seems to be producing and making things happen. The tides get affected by the moon. It looks like the moon is making something happen by the tide. It's like it's got a mind of its own and it's doing things. And all of these forces, the magnetic forces and all these scientific things that they discover, but it looks like they're just pulling things out of this creative force called nature. Well, the Chumash is saying that what looks like a creative force in nature is not. It was Bihi Baram. It had been already created that way. And what's happening, what appears to be a creative force in nature is nature just playing its own nature out the way it was pre-programmed to do. Everything that happens from heaven and earth were inherent in the process of creation itself. And they're actually passive. Nature and all the components of nature are passive in what happens in our world. The world didn't appreciate that. They didn't know that. And they got intoxicated by the toldos, by the products of heaven and earth and all the developments. And they looked at those things as their own independent powers. It was silence. This inherent nature was nifal, as we said in the grammar of the hey. You have to really be looking carefully to see that what looks like a creative force in nature is really not. And it took the scrutinizing eye of an Avraham Avinu to notice that, to trace all of this, what it looks like it's an own independent power, back to a creator behind it all. And there's a Medrash Rabbah that notices the fact that this letter, Behi Baram, this word Behi Baram, is an anagram to the word Avraham. And it says, Behi Baram, Bizchus Avraham. This was Avraham Avinu's insight. He came to recognize that what seems to be an inherent power of the world is nothing more than what was a pre-programmed power put in there, but there is no creative force to nature. And we'll soon see how Hashem responded to that. We'll get there tonight. But the pasuk has more going on there. So first it says, Biyom Asos Hashem Elokim, on the day, we'll talk about what day that is, we'll get there. On the day that Hashem Elokim made Eretz V'Shamayim. Okay, so first let's talk about this new name that appears in the Torah. Yud Kei Vav Kei. We know Shulchan Aruch talks about Ha Yehovah V'yeh, he was, he is, and he will be. And apparently, back in Germany, the classic translation, which Hirsch doesn't like at all, is that they just translated this name of God as the Eternal One, which is true, but he says it leaves the heart very cold with nothing to do with that name. And he says that we know from Chazal that this name is the name of Midas HaRachamim, but nothing about the fact that Hashem is eternal sheds any light on the Midas HaRachamim, which is relevant to us. So he rather says the following. He has a few steps to get here. Just a moment. First of all, he says, in the word Yud Kei Vav Kei, in the letters, it means the one who grants existence. But to be, to exist, is in those letters, L'hiyos. But it's more than that. It also means, beyond that, the one who is always ready to grant new life. When things seem to be going backwards, Hashem can reinvigorate and grant new life. But then he takes it a step deeper and he says like this, God is the grantor of every moment yet to be. That's where the future allusion is in the name. Which he fashions, this is a big deal here. This is literally, if you want to know Hirsch 101, it's in this tight right here of what is God? And therefore, what is our work to recognize God? Again, he's the grantor of every moment yet to be, which he fashions in accordance with the educational needs of mankind. Hashem is deeply involved in where man is at, and he's looking for adjusting things in this world based on the needs of man. Because of his Midas HaRachamim, that's why he makes these adjustments, because if Midas HaDin would stay there, there would be the end of everything. And then there would be no education in man because everything would just come undone. We don't really deserve to keep things going. This is so even if the merits of the past have been exhausted. So Hashem looks back at the past. He may look at our purest moments when we were really before anything we did wrong. He looks towards the future to know where we could head. And despite right now that we may not be living up to that, he's ready to grant continued existence through the Midas HaRachamim, which accommodates the mistakes, delays any din, in order to educate man. It's not just because Hashem is nice. There's a purpose behind the Rachamim. And this is really the big yisoid of everything that Hirsch later talks about. It's why miracles happen. It's the name Hashem Elokim will soon develop it, is Hashem working within nature to sometimes move the rules of nature along a little bit, bend them a little bit, so that man can get what man needs in the overall long-term education of where all of history is going. When we talk often about God as the God of nature and the God of history through Hirsch's words, this is what it's about. There's the rules of nature that are implanted. They're steady and they're fixed. And then there's when Hashem is ready to intercede and make adjustments in the rules of nature, because there's a higher purpose to why he put all nature there in the first place. So we'll get to the whole reading of the pasuk momentarily. Let me read you the way Hirsch puts it here. Elokim is Midas HaDin, the attribute of divine justice. He's the creator of the world who imposes on it order, gives it law and measure, and sets limits to all things. Were it not for the free will of man, who is capable of straying from the right path, the world would not need Midas HaRachamim. All the rest of God's creatures, except for man, do not deviate from the paths assigned to them at the creation. And if man had not been created, Toldos HaShamayim V'Aretz, that's heaven on earth, just the way Hashem programmed it from the beginning, nature, would hinge solely on Yibaram, the way they were created. Just leave it that way. On the laws of the growth and development implanted in them by the law-giving creator at the time of their creation. But with the creation of man, who is free, and hence free to err, the need arose for Midas HaRachamim. God's rule of mercy educates man to his exalted purpose, sustains him and his world despite his errors, leads him back from deviance and fault to the path of truth and faithfulness, grants him renewed strength for a new life and a new future, and shapes Toldos HaShemayim V'Aretz, the development of how what God put into place, these rules of nature, but he shapes it in accordance with the educational needs of mankind. this mode of God's rule, already implied by the word la'asos, that's the last word in Kiddush, or Shabar Elokim la'asos. You know, the Hashem Elokim put all the laws of nature into place, but la'asos, in order to have interaction with the world, to guide it and direct it according to where man is at. That's the la'asos at the end of Kiddush. Bar Elokim, that's the rules of nature. But la'asos is to be involved in this world based on where man's at, which concludes the preceding verse, that's the end of Kiddush, guides the development of toldos, hashamayim v'aretz, in accordance with man's merits and educational needs. And that is what is represented by the name Yudke Vavke. As Elohim, God created heaven and earth and subjected their development to law and order. As Hashem, Yudke Vavke, he intervenes in this process, constantly shaping and guiding it in accordance with his purpose, which is to educate mankind. There, in the physical world order, the earth depends on the heavens, meaning how the way Hashem programmed nature. Here, in the moral world order, what we live like with our free will choices, Hashem asked man to live up to, for the sake of which the physical world exists, the heavens depend on the deeds of man. The heavens depend on earth. There, scripture always says, Hashemayim v'aretz. Here in our pasuk, scripture says, Eretz v'shamayim. Because when man's introduced, the earth is the ikar, where we're at and how we're living and how we're using the earth. And based on that is how Hashem's decisions of what nature is going to look like depend. So Eretz v'shamayim, the end of the pasuk. What's Yom? What is this day? Yom Asos Hashem, the day that Hashem made Eretz v'shamayim. So Hirsch says, this is none other than Shabbos. That's what Hashem just finished talking about. He created Shabbos. On this day, Hashem introduced Shabbos into creation. He put his entire work of heaven and earth in the service of educating man to become Adam. And by now, you're already familiar with the term Adam. That's the person who is this representative of Hashem in this world, the one who uses his free will to exercise Hashem's Ratzon as he lives through this world. So that's Shabbos. On this day, it makes perfect sense why Yom Asos Hashem Elokim, Eretz V'Shamayim. Now with Shabbos, man can make something out of his world and uplift it. And Hashem is looking carefully, how's man living up to this? With the Shabbos, with an educational tool to how to live, now Hashem will interact with this world, seeing whether man lives up to what man is now being educated in. And he says, and Shabbos made the survival of the world dependent on this educational process. Okay, so then he goes on. I'm going to skip a little bit. He talks about Avram Avinu. When Hashem realized, Avram contemplated heaven and earth. It was not led astray by toldos sehem, by the amazingness of this world of nature. Thus, he came to recognize the creator, the lawgiver of the physical world order. And therefore, God chose him to teach him also the name of Hashem. It's not a coincidence, and Hirsch points this out very explicitly later on, that Avram's role and task in life, and really the Jewish people's role, is to get the whole world to understand this. Avram Avinu finally gets out on his mission, and what does he first do? He builds a mizbeach here and there, by Yikra B'Shem Hashem. That's Avram's goal. He understands that this notion of who Hashem is, that Hashem is involved in this world, not just that he put a bunch of things in place, and that's the nature that we know, that there's a creator, but that Hashem is looking at us to make correct choices and how to live and how to use this physical world. That's what the role of Avram Avinu is. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem is trying to teach this message to the world. Hashem's rule in history and his moral world order. This name became known and manifest in the world only when Avram's descendants had become a people. In other words, now he's giving us a fast forward, really, to the whole Chumash in this little paragraph here. Like, where's this all heading? Avram Avinu chapped it, and Hashem taught this to Avram, and he started the process. But our ability as a nation to carry on what Avram started, in the end, we know the story of what happens. We have to become devoid of everything. We can't survive anymore. We go down to Mitzrayim, we have nothing. This people lacked all the conditions necessary for national existence according to the physical world order. They attained their physical existence as a nation only by virtue of their moral path, meaning the choices we made at the time of Karban Pesach, where we had to make sacrifices and make decisions, and at the time of Matan Torah, we had to accept what subjecting ourselves to the Ratzon Hashem. The Nasa v'Nishma was Klal Yisrael's commitment to subjecting themselves ourselves to the Ratzon Hashem. So everything was waiting for this moment. We had nothing. We couldn't eat in the desert. We couldn't drink in the desert. Everything was dependent. Our existence was dependent on our making these choices. From God's hand alone did they attain national existence by virtue of their devotion to God. The whole history, these are italicized words here, the whole history of Israel is nothing but a revelation of the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. This is God's Klal Yisrael. Our entire history, our survival, shows that Hashem is involved in this world. He's bringing this world to a goal, a destiny. And Klal Yisrael, having been chosen as the bottom Hashem, we have this role that we play, whether we want to or not at this point, we're in it. And we survive, and it's hard. But we, if you look back at every other nation that's disappeared, where are the Romans and where are the Greeks? Where are all of them? They're gone. They're history. They're nothing. And we're still here. Hashem is guiding history to keep us going because we have a role to play in bringing the whole world to this recognition. And just our survival is already a recognition of that if you just know the history of where it all started from. So that's one very important thing about the Yishayim, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Okay. Oh, yeah, maybe one more thought, one last thought for tonight. There's so much more. Okay, I thought I was going to get to literally like four more psukim. That's not happening tonight. So, and that is that the fact that we pronounce the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as the Shem Adnos, that Hashem is our Adon, makes perfect sense when you hear this whole idea. Right? That's our pronunciation of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Why? Because the whole idea of Hashem interacting with our world has to do with whether we buy into this and whether we commit to the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem Elokim is that's the Hashem who takes nature. And if we are like the rest of nature, like the animals and like the birds and like the plants who by instinct do the Ratzon Hashem, then it'll flourish for us. So if we choose to subjugate ourselves to the Ratzon Hashem, then it's good. Well, next week we'll talk about the rain and the rain in Eretz Yisrael. It rains when you behave, when you do the right things. So the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei makes perfect sense why we pronounce it, you are my master. Because knowing that Hashem interacts with the world and we are accepting his rulership is why Hashem will then favorably respond to who we are and how we'll live and how the world will flourish. Ultimately, it'll be Eretz Yisrael that'll flourish. Okay, we'll talk about more of that next week.